Happy to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here. Glad to have you along today as we begin the program by taking a look at the controversy over Alliant Energy's proposed coal-fired power plant. The State Public Service Commission has until December to rule on a proposal by Alliant Energy to build that plant on the southwest side of the state in Cassville area. And the project would be fueled with a combination of coal and agricultural feedstocks, things like switchgrass and wood waste. And so, obviously, Alliant Energy is in favor of this. Clean Wisconsin and the Citizens Utility Board have opposed the project since Alliant filed its application. And so we're going to talk about both sides of the issue today. In fact, we'll have our guests with us right up until noon. Two guests. Barbara Swan is president of Alliant Energy's Wisconsin Power and Light Company. She wanted to be with us today in person, but she's in the midst of a technical hearing in Madison now, and so she's with us by phone. Barbara Swan, thanks for taking time to be with us. Appreciate it.
Oh, thanks, Larry. I'm glad to be here.
Peter Taglia, professional geologist and staff scientist at Clean Wisconsin in Madison, is my guest. He's served on many committees on Governor Doyle's Global Warming Task Force, for example. Currently serves on a coal advisory group for the Midwest Governors Association. So we're really pleased to have him. Peter, thank you for coming by as well. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Larry.
Let's start. I would like to start by talking with Barbara. By the way, let me give the number to call before I even get into anything else. If you have a question or comment, I hope you'll join in. That number is 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. And you can email us at talk@wpr.org. So you can chime in as well. And Barbara Swan, let me turn to you first. Why do we need this plant?
Well, the reason that we need the plant, Larry, is just a basic stage in terms of our utility company in Wisconsin, where we are with load growth and where we are with our current plant portfolio. We haven't built a baseload plant, which is what this plant would be, since the middle of the 1980s. We've added a lot of peaking plants. We've added wind. We've done a lot of energy conservation and energy efficiency work. But we're now at the point where, in order to balance the portfolio that we have, we need to add additional baseload. And what I mean by baseload is the baseload plants are plants that you can count on and dispatch to be able to run 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. So that's what we're looking at, and that's where we're at.
And you're planning to use a combination of coal and agricultural products of some sort.
Coal and biomass, that's correct. We would initially start operating the plant at about 10% biomass and increase that percentage up to 20% of biomass within the first 5 years after the plant was in operation. What that means, the rating for the plant is about 300 megawatts. So 20% of that would be about 60 megawatts that we would be looking to use biomass for. And that could be a combination of waste wood, could be a combination of agricultural byproducts such as corn stover, the stalks, the leftover parts of corn plants after you've harvested the corn, and also native grasses, prairie grasses, switchgrass, other things like that.
And thanks for that explanation. Peter Taglia, your group opposes this. Why do you oppose it?
Well, we oppose it for basically one major reason, and that is it's a coal plant that'll be bringing more coal into a state that's already 70% dependent on coal. In fact, we've actually just added a 500-megawatt coal plant in Weston, and we're getting ready to have 1,200 more megawatts of coal power plant in Oak Creek. So this is bringing a coal plant into the state at the time when everyone around the state is realizing that we need to address global warming pollution. And adding a coal plant that will be equivalent to adding 600,000 cars to Wisconsin roads just doesn't make sense.
So what about the fact that energy, our consumption is increasing and we need to go online with with more energy. What? How do we do that then?
Well, that's an interesting point because actually Alliant Energy has used projections for energy demand growth that are much higher than what other utilities in the state have been projecting. And that's a critical issue. The staff at the Public Service Commission has said that Alliant is using far too generous growth rates, as well as the industrial energy groups have said that they're using too high of a growth rate to do this. It's also interesting that the governor's task force, the number one recommendation from the task force that was unanimous, was that we need to drastically increase energy efficiency spending in the state and really control how much energy we use. And that's also the most cost-effective way of addressing our energy consumption.
Yeah. Barbara Swan, would you comment on that?
I'd be happy to, Larry. First of all, with respect to the growth rate that we've been experiencing, basically our projections come off of what we've actually experienced over the past decade or so in terms of our growth rate. The nature of our service territory is such that we have actually experienced a higher growth rate than most of the other utilities in the state. We don't see that changing substantially as we look forward. Notwithstanding that to be the case, the fact of the matter is that Wisconsin Power and Light has managed to put off the time for building a new baseload plant a couple of ways. One of the ways that we've done that is by engaging in substantially more energy efficiency and energy efficiency investment than the other utilities in the state. About 10 years ago now, we made a move in the state of Wisconsin whereby a substantial portion of energy efficiency moved from the individual utilities to being handled centrally by the state through something called Focus on Energy. At the time that happened, Wisconsin Power and Light Company had some very robust energy efficiency programs, particularly our shared savings program. And when that occurred, unlike the other utilities in the state, we didn't stop doing energy efficiency on our own. So in addition to the contributions that we make every year to Focus on Energy and the state programs, we also invest and have invested for the past several years approximately $40 million a year in shareholder funds that go into additional energy efficiency. Because of that, we've been able to forestall the need to put in baseload. The other thing that we've done is we purchase more power than the other utilities in the state do. So when we put this plant in, it's not just simply going to be handling new load. Some of it will be offsetting current purchases, and the reason that we look to do that is because by doing that through a baseload plant that burns biomass and fuel, we can help to insulate our customers from the volatility of natural gas costs, which is the basic fuel off of which purchase power contracts are priced.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't think that our projections in terms of need for this baseload plant are out of line. I would absolutely agree with Peter that we need to spend money on energy efficiency. I also served on the governor's task force. I actually co-chaired one of the committees on the governor's task force, so I'm quite familiar with that.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as doing energy efficiency, as I said, we already spend more money and are more involved in doing that than any of the other utilities in the state.
Well, we have a lot of people who want to visit with you. With you both. So I want to go back to the phones for a few minutes here and take some calls. And John in Madison's been waiting a while, so I want to go to John first here. John, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hello?
Hi. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi. I was just wondering, I'm not from Madison originally. I just got here, and I've been reading about the governor's global warming task force, which is really exciting, and the building of this coal plant just seems kind of inconsistent with that. Can we continue to build coal plants in Wisconsin and still meet the goals that are set by Governor's Global Warming Task Force?
All right, that's a good question. Well, let's turn to Barbara first and let Peter chime in as well.
Thanks for the question, John. In Wisconsin, yes, I think that is, in fact, the case. If you look at what we're proposing with this plant, we're proposing a number of things. First of all, we're proposing that 20% of this the fuel for this plant would be biomass. Biomass is considered to be carbon neutral. By that, what we mean is that while some carbon dioxide is released when the biomass is combusted, carbon dioxide is reabsorbed when you're growing the biomass that you're going to be using in the plant. So 20% of the fuel that would handle this plant would come from biomass. Then the second thing that we've proposed is if we get authority to build this plant, that we would close and retire one of our oldest coal unit, which is located up in Sheboygan. That plant was built back in the 1950s, and that's about 75 megawatts. So that's an additional more than 25%, about 25% of the plant that would be offset as a result of coal closing down an older, less efficient coal unit. And the less efficient the plant, the more carbon dioxide it emits when you combust coal in it. So what we're talking about is about 165 megawatts of new coal here. Now, if we don't buy that, if we don't build that plant, if we continue to purchase power, what we would be continuing to purchase would be power that would be coming from other people's coal plants and natural gas plants, both of which also emit carbon dioxide. And the plants that we would be buying the power from would be, in essence, probably less efficient than this new plant because they're all older plants. So what we're attempting to do here is to manage any emissions that would come from the plant. I talked about the biomass component. I talked about closing down and retiring an old unit. We're also proposing that we would build additional wind to help offset any emissions from this plant, and we would also increase the amount of energy efficiency that we do by 50%. So when we do all of those things, we have essentially offset the emissions that would come from this plant.
Peter, a comment from you. Peter Taglia.
Yes. This is one of the major reasons we're opposed to this plant. And in fact, Alliant's own data that they submitted in response to work done on the Governor's Global Warming Task Force asked all of the utilities in Wisconsin to say what their plans are for emitting CO2. And this coal plant would contribute to Alliant emitting far more global warming pollution at the same time that other utilities in Wisconsin are reducing their emissions, utilities like Xcel Energy and MG&E. And so what we find is that when we analyze what Alliant has been claiming about this coal plant and about what purchase power has for a carbon footprint, we find that this coal plant has such high emissions that it would continue to increase CO2 emissions. And these same findings have been made by other applicants in this, other contestants in this case. And so one other fact is that even at 20% biomass, this plant would have higher greenhouse gas emissions than other more efficient coal plants in the state that are operating on 100% coal. So clearly, this is not a step in the right direction.
We'll have a chance to talk with our guests and certainly Barbara Swan to respond to that and take your questions as well here as we talk about Alliant Energy's proposed coal-fired power plant in Cassville, in the Cassville area. I'm Larry Mueller. Jim Packard, our producer here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. If you'd like to join in our conversation as we talk about Alliant Energy's proposed coal-fired power plant with our two guests, Barbara Swan with us by phone, president of Alliant Energy's Wisconsin Power and Light Company, and Peter Taglia, professional geologist and staff scientist at Clean Wisconsin in Madison. Hope you'll join in. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us as well at talk@wpr.org. And more callers on. I want to give Tom and Viroqua a chance. Tom, hello.
Yeah, good morning, Larry. Besides the issues that Mr. Taglia has raised, those of us in Vernon County feel particularly threatened by this project. We're presently being targeted as a fly ash waste dump site for Dairyland Power for one of their Genoa coal plants, and also possibly other coal-fired plants around the area. as a result of this, we've researched the impacts of this and have found that the epidemiological health impacts for communities surrounding such fly ash waste dumps are just through the roof. There's, far too many things than I could possibly list here, but it's a real threat to the health of our community. To that extent, I would like to ask Ms. Swan two questions. One is, are they planning on burning low sulfur coal coming from Wyoming or Colorado, or are they planning on using much more high polluting high sulfur coal from Indiana or Illinois? And the second question is, where do they plan on dumping their fly ash, and can she assure us that it will not be Vernon County?
Okay. Barbara Swan?
Okay, let me see if I can remember the parts to that question. I believe the first part was, where would the coal come from?
Yeah, low sulfur or high sulfur?
Yeah, this plant would be capable. The nature of the technology for this plant is that it would be able to burn multiple kinds of coal, multiple kinds of fuel. That's one of the reasons that we chose the technology. So it could burn Western coal. It could burn Indiana coal. It could burn any number of things. But the fact of the matter is that this plant will also have emission control devices on it. Once the plant is constructed, the emission of sulfur dioxide, nitrous oxide, mercury, and particulates will actually be only a fraction of what is being emitted from the current units at the plant. So it will not, the kind of coal that is burned will not have an impact on the amount of sulfur dioxide emissions to the air. The second point.
Where would the fly ash go? He was wondering.
Wisconsin Power and Light basically sells almost all of its fly ash for use in various industrial processes, primarily road building. A lot of it gets used for cement and other road building products, and so very little of it goes into ash dumps at all anywhere. Frankly, I don't know with respect to this plant. I don't know that any of it would or would not go to Vernon County. I just couldn't tell you that, but I can tell you that we don't put much of our ash in the ground.
Okay. Peter?
Yeah, well, actually, I used to work for a subsidiary of Alliant Energy, RMT, that worked on landfills. And when you look at the actual environmental impact statement for this plant, the technology they've chosen that allows them to burn those different fuels actually produces between 2 and 9 times more ash than what's produced at just a conventional pulverized coal plant. And so this will be producing a lot more ash. And the other fact that's very important is that they cannot reuse this ash for those existing purposes that Barb talked about at some of their other coal plants, and that's because limestone is mixed right in the boiler. And that is a very big problem. Another problem with the plant is that it will be burning, the design fuel is 80% Western coal and 20% petroleum coke, which is asphalt refinery waste that is very high in sulfur. And so this is a critical concern, I think, for people who are worried about where are they going to put this ash if they can't reuse it, and what landfills are they going to have to create to store all this waste, up to 160,000 tons per year.
Mm. Barbara, did you want to respond?
Again, as I indicated to you, we've been doing a lot of work on being able to reuse our ash. That's what we do with it at this point in time. And again, the emissions controls that will be on the plant will be managing the emissions from the plant regardless of what type of fuel gets burned.
Let's go to Milton in West Allis next. Hello, thanks for calling.
Okay, unless things have changed since I was active in the electric energy regulatory area, about a third of the energy from a steam turbine plant is going to be wasted in the condenser, I guess in this case, to the river. Do you have a co-generation partner, or once the plant is built, could it easily and cheaply be retrofitted for a cogeneration customer? And my last general question to both guests would be, back when I worked with this stuff, the Public Service Commission was made up of utility people. And is that still the case now?
All right. Thanks for calling. So the makeup of the PSC and cogeneration. Barbara, I'll turn to you first.
Okay. We do not have a cogeneration partner for this plant at this time. And I don't know whether or not we will be able to find one. I think the footprint of the plant would be limiting in terms of being able to put a cogeneration partner at this particular site. With respect to the makeup of the commission, I am assuming the caller is asking about the commissioners themselves.
Yeah, I think so.
And all three of the commissioners currently on the commission have been appointed by Governor Doyle. Mark Meyer, I believe, came out of the legislature. Eric Callisto, who is the current chair, I believe came also out of, he's an attorney, he came out of some other agencies within state government. Lauren Azar, who is the third commissioner, was an attorney in private practice. I know she did represent ATC, possibly some other utilities, during the course of her private practice.
Mm-hmm. And I thank you very much, Milton, for calling. I want to give Dan a chance to call from Marshfield. Dan, thanks for calling. Hello.
Hi, thanks for my call. Two things. First thing that just comes to mind immediately, when we're looking at addressing our energy needs for the future, it amazes me how prominent the NIMBY syndrome is. Everyone wants us to have enough energy. Everyone wants us to do something besides coal or oil, but not in my backyard. It's just, I guess, kind of mind-boggling. Second is just a general question. Why are we so totally ignoring nuclear potential when we're looking at reducing global warming?
Okay, well, I'll turn first to Peter Taglia. Peter?
Yes, thanks a lot for the question. First off, the NIMBYism is a problem in the state, and it's a problem not only for these technologies, but also for some of our clean technologies. But we also have a number of people that want clean energy jobs and want the ability to develop our economy by doing things using resources in our own state, not importing out-of-state coal. The other comment, though, about what we would do in terms of nuclear energy is actually not a valid option yet in Wisconsin because we have a mandatory a ban on it. But nuclear energy wouldn't be a solution anyway because it takes so long to build a nuclear power plant. And so what we're looking forward to is using clean energy technologies like wind and responsible uses of biomass, like converting old coal plants to 100% biomass, which is being done in Cassville at the other side of the town. And that also brings us back to the previous caller's question about ash. When you burn biomass, 100% biomass, in an old coal plant that's been converted, you don't have an ash problem. You don't have mercury and sulfur hung up in the ash. And so the nuclear question is something I think for pretty far in the future, but we have an important decision to make now, and that is, are we going to invest in old technology and coal, or are we going to invest in a green energy future that could create family-supporting jobs in Wisconsin?
Barbara Swan, a comment from you.
I absolutely agree with Peter that right at the moment, nuclear is not an option in Wisconsin because there's a state statute that prohibits any new nuclear from being built. That may change. Peter and I may disagree on whether or not that's a good option down the path. Certainly it does take time to build nuclear, but it takes time to build coal. It takes time to build anything. And when you're planning your energy future, you really are looking out longer than 1, 2, 3, or 5 years. We plan substantially farther out than that. So I think that at some point may very well become an option for us. With respect to the NIMBYism, one of the reasons why we're so excited about the plant we're proposing is because not only does the city of Cassville just embrace the concept of us putting the plant there, but so does that whole region. And one of the reasons that they really embrace it is because, first of all, it will provide good family-supporting jobs for the region, not only during the construction, but during the operation of the plant, but also because of the biomass portion of that plant, what it will do will be to help actually start, kickstart the development of a new industry for Wisconsin. That part of the state is really the heart of the biomass area of the United States. So there's just a lot of biomass there. So it's important from the perspective that by developing that industry in that part of the state, we can use local fuels. We can keep those dollars in the state of Wisconsin that would otherwise go outside of the state for other fuels. And we also develop the jobs and the aggregation for that. Now, Mr. Taglia mentioned converting old coal plants to biomass. In reality, the technology that we've chosen for this plant is being used not only other places in the United States, but actually throughout Europe, specifically for the development of biomass and coal-fired coal and biomass plants. So it's not an old technology at all. It actually is a technology of choice for this type of an application.
Let's go to Scott in Madison next. Scott, hello to you.
Hi. I guess first I just kind of have a general comment about Barb's, what she's been saying about the Alliant plant. It seems like she's been avoiding some of the answers. She's been a little bit ambiguous about whether or not it will be burning 20% biomass or where exactly the coal will be coming from. I would just hope from here on out we could focus on the issues and give some real answers. Now, for an actual question, I just would like to throw out the idea that it's getting harder for a lot of people in the state of Wisconsin to pay their electricity bills. And I would like to know just how will building this coal plant affect electricity bills from here on out, and has there been any, like, a less expensive alternative that has been developed?
All right. Thanks for calling. I'll turn to you, Barb.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry if... I'm sorry I don't remember the caller's name, thinks that I was ambiguous.
Scott.
When I mentioned the fact that this plant can burn a multitude of different types of fuel, that's exactly what I meant. And it probably will burn different types of fuel, because one of the things that we will be doing in order to keep costs down for our customers is determining what the most cost-effective sources of that fuel will be. And because of the fact that the plant can burn multiple types of fuel, it gives you the ability to have some competition on a price level for what you're going to burn. So that's a specific advantage to the plant that we saw.
Mm-hmm.
I think there was another...
question was what will happen to bills, the electric bills for those customers.
Right. Okay, we have taken a look at that in terms of the cost of building the plant and what will happen to people's bills. We have a whole raft of projects that are underway as we look out over the next 10 years in our strategic plan. This plant is one piece of that. We also have plans to build an additional 400 megawatts of wind in our plans. And we have a number of investments that we will be making, retrofitting old plants relative to various environmental needs. I was going to say that are required by environmental rules, but a number of those have been vacated by the federal courts in the last few months. But when you add all of those together and the investments in all of those, when we look out at what are likely to happen to rates over the period between now and about 2015, we're looking at an increase in prices on average of about 5-6% per year. And I don't have the breakdown of that specific to this one particular plant, what impact that might have on rates, but that's sort of looking at all of the pieces of our plan.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if we don't build the plant, of course, we will have to either build something different or we would have to continue to purchase power from other people's plants. And again, as I indicated, the cost of purchase power is driven by natural gas prices. Those can be extremely volatile, and we've seen that experience just in the course of this year.
Peter, you want to make a comment?
Yes. This is actually a very expensive plant, and it's very difficult, I think, for Barb or I to talk about all of the different alternatives and all of the different ways any utility could meet their needs. But there are electronic models, computer models that do this. And what we found was that the Public Service Commission has run those models, and they did 300 different scenarios for Alliant Energy going forward, which included different types of coal plants, more efficient coal plants than what Alliant has proposed, natural gas plants, wind power, energy efficiency. And I just want to read a quote. After doing all of those 300 different analyses, under no scenario did they find this proposed plant to be the least cost. And so this plant is really not a way to address the important issues that our state is facing when they decide about paying their bills. It's also been called by the PSC's staff to date the most expensive conventional coal plant proposed in the U.S. And so really this is a major issue. And those prices are only going to go up as carbon emissions become regulated. Both presidents are going to be regulating carbon, and we cannot afford to take the opportunity to build a green future and build green jobs and use those opportunities to build expensive coal plants.
Well, Patrick in Manitowish, I think, Waters, has a perspective on it, too, so I want to give him a chance. Patrick, hello to you.
Hello. How are you doing today?
Good.
First of all, I'd like to say that I'm in agreement with the proposed plant in Casco. Mm-hmm. I am a union member from central Wisconsin. I'm a steam fitter. Mm-hmm. And lately, the area has been depressed. The paper industry and heavy industry has been it's been in a depressed state where I've had to actually work out of state. And I'd like to thank them for proposing a plant that would keep me working in state. And I live 5 hours away, yet the job that it'll provide me and my family is will keep us going for quite a while. And my only question is, are there any more projects projected for the future besides the wind projects? I'm kind of excited to hear about the retrofitting of some of these older coal plants, because that would also give me more work.
All right. Barbara, I'll start with you.
Okay. Yes, there certainly are going to be additional projects, as I had indicated. We don't have any plans at the moment for an additional baseload plant beyond the one that we've got proposed in Cassville. But you raised some very important points. That and things that we look at, you know, we don't make our determinations solely on the basis of any one thing. We try to be balanced when we look at this. But in terms of the cost, and Mr. Taglia's representation of the various models that were run, we run a lot of models. We've run a lot of models, too. But the models don't include all of the benefits to this plant. For example, the models don't include the fact that by putting this plant at its location in Cassville, we add an additional ability to import power into the state of about 625 megawatts that we wouldn't be able to have otherwise without building substantial additional transmission at a substantial cost. So that's an additional savings that we get there. As well, we had some professors Fortenberry and Deller from the university do an economic analysis of the plant and the amount of money and the amount of economic benefit to the plant. And in essence, their projections are that building this plant in the southwest part of the state will infuse about an average of $30 million per year in economic benefit to that part of the state. During the course of the construction of the plant, which will be between 4 and 5 years, we're looking at somewhere on average of about 800 jobs during the course of the construction of the plant. We're talking about 40 full-time jobs after the plant is constructed, and that doesn't deal at all with the development of the biomass industry in that part of the state and the jobs that would be created and the money that would go to both our farmers and other workers who would be involved in that industry.
Peter, comment?
Oh, yes. Well, first off, we sympathize with people who are struggling right now. There's a useful analogy where you could look at, right in Alliance territory, GM is going to be shutting down the Suburban plant in Janesville, and that'll actually be reducing load. But it's even more important, I think, to look at that example to say, you know, GM 5 years ago, when they retrofitted that plant from building smaller cars to building the Suburban, they looked to the future and said, gas is going to be cheap. And we have the same situation going on right now, except that coal isn't cheap right now. It's getting extremely expensive, but it'll get even more expensive with carbon regulation. And so we are concerned about jobs, but we're also concerned, are these going to be sustainable jobs? Is the future going to be burning coal? Or can we look at the future where we're building fully renewable projects? We're using companies in the state like Johnson Controls. We have Manitowoc Cranes is building cranes that are used for wind. Just in Wisconsin and Iowa alone are every single component to make wind turbines and the cranes to lift them up. Coal boilers, though, are made all over the world and are not the future. And so we're concerned about costs. The Citizens Utility Board is a partner with us opposing this plant. They're extremely concerned about costs. And lastly, the industrial user groups have raised many significant concerns about the price of this plant and how expensive it'll make electricity. And by the way, that includes the largest paper companies who have actually been laying people off. So we can't just look at one side of the equation, which is, you know, and Barb was correct that there have been economic analysis studies, but those economic analysis studies ignored what the cost of this will be and how many jobs will be driven away by increasing the cost of electricity by the most expensive coal plant proposed in the U.S.
Our guests today, Barbara Swan, president of Alliant Energy's Wisconsin Power and Light Company, and Peter Taglia, professional geologist, staff scientist at Clean Wisconsin in Madison, as we visit with them about the Alliant Energy proposal for a coal-fired power plant in Cassville. I should mention, by the way, there are some public hearings coming up on September 29th, next Monday, in Cassville, and then another one in Portage on the 30th. Of September. So a couple of hearings coming up. And we'll be taking your questions and comments as we move along here. We'll be going right until 12 o'clock with our two guests here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. If you'd like to join in our conversation as we talk with Barbara Swan of Alliant Energy, as president of Alliant Energy, as a matter of fact, and Peter Taglia, a professional geologist, staff scientist at Clean Wisconsin, I hope you'll join us at 800-642-1234 or email us at talk@wpr.org. And I want to go to, let's see, who's next in line here? I'm going to take these in order. Ned in Wausau is up next. Ned, hello.
Hi. I just like to mention that I pay a little bit extra every month for burning clean energy, clean electrical power. And I think that people across Wisconsin should unite together in trying to get a reduced charge, additional charge, so that it's closer to the normal fee for dirty electrical power generation. And I don't really, I see it that it's extra right now for wind power and so on, but I think it's becoming more and more competitive in generation costs. And that's my first point. I want to see the same price for clean energy as for coal-fired energy. The second point is, and the only other point is, new coal-fired plants shouldn't just break even on carbon dioxide emissions. And in my opinion, they should be an improvement, as many of them are. I think when one of the guests says, well, this will essentially break even when you take everything into account, that's pretty good, but it's not good enough. And I think we need to do better than that. I think we need to really consider the effects of climate change and global warming and make significant reductions in carbon dioxide emissions in the future. So I would like to see us go back to the drawing board before the Cassville plant is opened, because I live near the Weston plant that just opened, and it's just staggering how much coal goes into that plant on a regular basis.
Well, I thank you, Ned, for calling. Appreciate it. Barbara, we'll turn to you first here. Barbara, go ahead.
Okay, a couple of things, Ned. With respect to paying more for clean energy, just to explain how that works, and I don't know whose service you're on, whether you're on ours or somebody else's, but we have a program called Second Nature, and that's for people who want to ensure that a certain percentage, all the way up to 100% of their energy comes from renewables. And that does cost more than if you are just buying energy off our system, which would include all of the different kinds of energy in our portfolio. But as we add wind to our portfolio, you are getting a portion of your energy from that wind, even if you're just on our regular rates. What we do for the Second Nature program is, in addition to the renewable resources that we build and own and that are part of our portfolio, we do go out and purchase specifically additional renewable energy specifically for that program. So that's why it costs more than it does. Now, you know, clearly if the only issue that we're going to look at when we look at energy is the environmental side of it, we are going to pay more. All of us are going to pay more for our energy in order to do that. What we try to do is to make sure that we balance our portfolio with different types of fuels, with different types of energy, so that we not only take into consideration environmental concerns, but we also take into concern economics for our customers. Now, I do feel that I have to respond to Mr. Taglia. He has twice now emphasized the fact that he believes this is the most expensive coal plant in the United States. It may be more expensive than the last one that was built in Wisconsin simply because it's being built later. The fact of the matter is that what we are seeing with respect to construction of any type of generating, whether it's coal plants, whether it's natural gas plants, or whether it's wind turbines, that the price has escalated substantially over the last couple of years. In part, that's because we're doing a lot of building in the United States, but in large part, it's also due to the fact that we've truly become a global economy when it comes to energy. China and India and a number of the developing countries are adding new coal plants, they're adding new gas plants, they're adding new nuclear plants and wind plants at a rate that would take your breath away compared to what we're doing in the United States. And all of that's driving up the basic costs, whether it be for steel, whether it be for concrete, whether it be for labor and people who know how to do this. So it's not an issue with respect to our particular plant or anything unique to that plant. It has to do with the fact of where the economy is going right now and just the increase that we're seeing in prices. And according to Mr. Taglia's expert witness at the commission, we don't see those prices going down anytime in the foreseeable future. So the longer we wait to take care of the needs that we have, the more expensive it's going to be.
What do you think about Ned's comment? And Ned said that new plants down the road should actually improve the situation instead of just being neutral, carbon neutral.
Sure. Well, with respect to the plant that we're proposing to build, in reality, it's substantially more efficient than our old coal plants. And so it will emit less carbon dioxide per megawatt than those plants. And I'm not sure that Ned understood the fact that what we're looking to do through other means is to not only improve the emissions rates on the plants, but to actually offset those.
I see. Well, Ned, I thank you for calling. I want to give Karen and Madison a chance to chime in. Karen, hello.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Somebody has already brought this up, but it hasn't been really gone into in any detail, and I don't quite understand it. From everything that I've read about this issue, the coal industry is going to be much more regulated in the future than it is right now. We might have a cap and trade system where there's actually, you know, money that has to be paid to any industry that is putting out carbon dioxide. how, I mean, I've always thought the only advantage to coal, we know the many disadvantages to coal, but the advantage of it was that it was a cheap fuel. And it just seems like already it's not a cheap fuel. And once these emissions are regulated, which we know is coming, it's not going to be a cheap fuel at all. So why we would even consider sinking any money into expanding this industry is really hard to understand.
Yeah. Well, Peter, I'll let you comment first, and then we'll go to Barb.
Coal is not cheap by any means, and actually since December of last year, Eastern coal has gone up 100%, the price of it. And so not only has the price of these plants been going through the roof, but the price of coal has been going through the roof for some of the same reasons that Barb alluded to, and we're not finding that that's exactly the same with other fuels. But more importantly, what it brings up is the fact that there is one thing Barb didn't mention that hasn't gone up, and that's energy efficiency. And we can do so much more with energy efficiency, and in times when costs for building things like this have gone up, we can do energy efficiency, and that's also homegrown jobs. There's a proposal in Milwaukee to do enormous amounts of energy efficiency, retrofitting old houses, and that would be using local jobs to save people money on energy and reduce the need for plants like this. There's one other point, though, that I'd like to make about the efficiency of this plant. I think Barb is correct that this would be the most efficient plant for Alliant's fleet, but that's because Alliant has an extremely inefficient fleet. And when you compare it statewide, you find that there is a power plant built in 1967 in Oak Creek that's 320 megawatts. Oak Creek Unit 8, that's actually more efficient than the plant that Alliant is proposing. And that new plant that one of the callers referenced in near Wausau, the Weston 4 plant, is much more efficient than what Alliant's proposing. And the two coal plants near Milwaukee are much more efficient. And mind you, we didn't support those because they are taking us in the wrong direction. But when this proposal actually is a step backwards from plants that are already under construction in the state, that to us does not sound like a carbon plan.
Barb, how do you respond?
Well, Peter talks about much more efficient. He's talking about 1 to 2%. The second part is that this plant is not simply a coal plant, but it is also a biomass plant. And that's the rationale for the 20% biomass. The technology that we've chosen was chosen specifically because it can burn biomass, which is a local untapped resource that we have in Wisconsin. The plants that were built in Milwaukee and in Weston do not have the capability of burning the amount of biomass that we'll be able to burn at the Cassville plant. So it's an apples to oranges comparison. And I think I've forgotten the rest of the question.
And it's
I know the caller was wondering, you know, why you would consider coal when if carbon regulation is enacted, there would be additional costs. There will be additional costs whether what you're burning is coal or whether what you're burning is natural gas. That doesn't leave a lot of options, given that we can't build nuclear in this state. And you can't use wind for your base load because wind simply doesn't blow all the time. You can't dispatch it. When you need more, if the wind's blowing, it's there. But if it's not blowing, you can't do anything to create it. So it's not a viable alternative for the base load need that we have right now. When you look at coal plants, and when you look at, you know, the plants that we've built now, when those were built 50 years ago, we didn't have regulations with regard to sulfur dioxide or nitrous oxide. And what we have done as those regulations have come into place is technologies have been developed to retrofit those plants so that those emissions could be controlled. We expect the same thing to happen with regard to carbon dioxide. Those technologies are not yet to the point where they're commercially viable, and at the moment there isn't any regulation telling us exactly how carbon dioxide would be regulated and what you would need to do in order to meet the regulations. But that's something that we would anticipate is likely to happen down the road. And we are building this plant so that it will be ready for those technologies, to retrofit it at the point in time when those technologies become commercially viable.
And unfortunately, we are out of time. This has been a great conversation, and I want to remind you that there are hearings next Monday, September 29th, in Cassville. These are Public Service Commission hearings, and on the 30th in Portage, so it's Monday and Tuesday. And thanks very much to our two guests. I'm sorry we don't have more time here. Peter Taglia, professional geologist and staff scientist at Clean Wisconsin in Madison, and Barbara Swan, president of Alliant Energy for Wisconsin Power and Light Company. Thanks very much to you both.
Thank you.
Appreciate it very much. And coming up, news next here on the Ideas Network.